I'm going in search of witches.
Witches?
Witches. Mm-hmm. I guess you found me out, huh? Yeah. You should come around here on Halloween. You'd really see something then.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we all jump off the roof and fly.
You know, sort of like a coven.
You're placed fester under some strange sexual spell.
At what time will we be spellcasting?
Hey there, witches. Guess who's back? Back again. All right, I can't sing, but who cares? Finally, I am here, and finally, I am recording. So let's give me some applause and clapter for that one. It's been too long. If you hear music in the background, that is because I am recording this pretty late, and you might be able to hear my daughter's sleep music singing to us from up above. I am back and I have lots of things to talk about, so I'm going to do my best to keep up with the recording. As usual, I am a neurodivergent podcaster, so schedules and predictability have not been my friend. However, I will say this, I have been on this journey of learning to love a schedule, and it is working out for me. And I have been getting the back of the house stuff with my business super duper streamlined so that I can have time for you. Yay. All right. So I'm coming back and I want to talk about Jesus again. I know I've been like kind of on like this like Jesus fangirl thing for a minute, and I know this is weird, right? You're allowed to feel weird about it. I am here on a witchcraft podcast, and I've talked about Jesus a couple times, but I want to look at Jesus like this like spiritual figure, because he obviously was, and I want to look at him as like a philosopher and a metaphor and an interesting person, because he was those things too. And you know what? Jesus is a badass. Like any kind of spiritual leader who's going to get so pissed, he's going to flip a table and whip some people because they are corrupt AF. I am down for that. Like Jesus's whole platform is like, yo, what are you guys doing? You're out of alignment. GTFO. I don't want to deal with you if you're going to like be up here causing harm, creating problems, like maneuvering people away from their own divinity. I'm going to beat your ass. Like that's what Jesus says. And I am living for that because that is my energy 1000%. I think that people think that I might be like very nice and pleasant to be around. Y'all, I have some major Scorpio placements up in here. I have a Scorpio stellium. I am Scorpioed out. I can be nice. Well, I can be kind. I am kind. But I am like physically incapable of interacting with misaligned energy in a peaceful way. And perhaps that's either a thing I need to go ahead and work on and figure out how to like not be so intense when something is misaligned, because that's where my intensity comes out. Or B, I have to just like embrace the intensity and just go with it and not allow myself to feel guilt about it, because I am only intense when some boundaries are being crossed, you guys. And like, I'm not going to sit around while boundaries get crossed. I spent my entire life, especially before I had autonomy and like personhood and like my own voice, I spent all that time having every boundary possible crossed. So like, I feel like my quota for tolerating crossed boundaries is like overflowed. So now I'm just kind of like restoring balance. On a side tangent, before I talk about Jesus, I want to talk about this idea of restoring balance, okay? Because a lot of witches are scared. A lot of y'all are scared. I get it. We've been very conditioned to be scared of ourselves and our power and our magic and of negativity in general. It's so weird, you guys, because like some people on this planet are just like so fine with causing harm and chaos. Like there's a bunch of them out there. There's more than you realize. And then there's like the other side of the coin, which is like a lot of like spiritual people, awakened people, like really into self-worky kind of people. And those people are like terrified of causing any harm to the point that they will literally harm themselves so that they don't do anything outward to harm others. And this is whack. This is like some weird energy. Like I used to be this way. So I'm not being judgmental from a place of just like enjoying like criticism or whatever. That's not my vibe. Like my Pisces moon was like, oh my God. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Like here, let me like fix this request that I made. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, did I like put you out by making you listen to my voice? Like, I'm so sorry. Like, dude, every single thing came from guilt and like fear. And there's a lot of people out there afraid to even touch their magical side of themselves because of that fear of causing harm to someone else. And if you want me to read y'all, I'm going to tell you this. Yes, there's a righteousness in not wanting to harm people. But really, I think that fear is like way more about like, what will people think of me if I do something mean? I don't want people to judge me for being mean because I can't control that narrative. And so I will never do anything that could be interpreted as mean because I am so super scared of people thinking bad thoughts about me. And like, unfortunately, and also fortunately, because all this shit is duality, the truth is like we have no control. You all know this. We have no control over what other people think of us. You can be perfect to somebody, but if someone can't metabolize perfect, they're going to find a way to not metabolize you. Who cares what other people think of us? I don't care anymore. I'm like, whatever. You do you. Your life doesn't have to impact me. Like, I don't even have any say over how you think or feel. I don't even think I like you. So why do I care what your opinion of me is? But so on the note of balance, like with these witches that are so fear locked from interacting with themselves and their magic, what happens is that they become like paralyzed and they just don't do anything or they just only do good things. But the problem here is that magic is restorative. Like magic is here to bring about that balance. Like, okay, we're here in a tangible world, right? You can touch it, you can smell it, you can taste it, you can whatever. It's physical, it exists in whatever this matrix virtual reality schema that we are in. It is whatever, okay? So there are people here doing the most. There's people here trying to do good. There's people here trying to do evil. There's people here accidentally doing good. There's people here accidentally doing evil. But there is an equilibrium that has to be met to kind of keep things going. Gravity is dependent on balance. Like a lot of this stuff is dependent on balance and like the energy has to be correct, right? Especially if you want peace. If your life is out of peace, it's not in alignment with peace. If you have like a chaos life, you have to say to yourself, like, where are the energies out of balance? And how can I redistribute the energies to make things more balanced? Because the chaos is indicating to you that something is out of balance. Okay. But so, of course, if we're here in a tangible world, there are going to need to be tangible people who are serving as ambassadors of energy because the energetic beings that are purely just energy, that are not embodied in any way, shape, or form, they can influence us to some degree. But you'll notice thing that you're going to notice, right? This thing you're going to notice is that the spiritual entities that are not embodied in any way, shape, or form, they use us to get things done. Like, this is why I'm trying to tell you guys that you're in a conversation with your guides. And it's not just like a walkie-talkie or a one-way radio, if that's even a thing anymore. You're in a conversation. And as you're in that conversation, you are asking things of them and they are asking things of you. They are moving you to specific locations. They are telling you to converse with certain people. They are asking you to do certain things. You were born into this world with certain innate gifts and qualities and perceptions and abilities. And it's because you are needed. So we are doing things as we are moved by spirit to do them. The tangible component is you. The intangible impulse is spirit. And so ambassadors of the spiritual plane are going to be born in human form or in animal form, quite frankly. And these ambassadors of the spiritual plane are here to do some stuff. You'll know what that stuff is because it's your inner calling. It's your inner truth. It's like what you're driven towards. It's like what lights you up. It's what makes you you. It's all those good things that I talk about all the time, right? And so a witch is presumably a person who is studied enough and educated enough in, I don't know, I want to say like the academic art of spiritual interpretation, even though that's really not like technically a real thing, but truly like it's a studied person. It's an individual who has done healing, who has insight into spirit and how the spiritual plane works, whatever their cultural upbringing or religious beliefs are, or whatever they've managed to teach themselves or align within their lives. Like they have a path that fits for them. And so then they become ambassadors of that path. And that path could just be your own personal belief systems. Like, I don't have a specific path that's been gifted to me by like a book or like a religious sect or whatever. I have my own little path that just feels right to me. And I know I'm on it when I know I'm on it because I feel like I'm on it, right? And so as an ambassador of that path, whatever it may be, you're here to embody the alignment of that path, whatever it may be. And that means that when things are not aligning and when the boundaries aren't being, you know, boundaried, and when the quote rules aren't being followed or the energetic alignment is off AF, it's your job as the spiritual ambassador, as the wisdom keeper, as the one with the insight, as the seer, as the oracle, as the prophet, as the knower of the things, as the intuitive, as the energy reader, whatever it is, that's your job to be able to see and discern what it is that is off and to right that wrong. Because we are the hands. We are the hands of spirit. That is one of the reasons we are here, friends. Spirit is intangible. We are here in tangibility. When we are awake and we are here, we are aware that we are of spirit. And when we are awake and we are here and we are aware that we are of spirit, we are obligated to do the work of spirit. And sometimes that means getting shit done in a way that might feel kind of intense. Back to Jesus, I guess, right? This is why Jesus is whipping spiritual leaders who are like out of alignment. This is why he's like, I don't care what politician you are. If you're being horrible, go the F away. This is why Jesus is like, money is not a thing that is worth your time and energy. Like, care for the sick, help the poor. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is what he's doing. And this is what we are doing because we are all spiritual ambassadors in one way or another. It's just dependent on our level of realizing that or not realizing that, as the case may be. But if you're here and you're listening to me and you're interested in spirituality and you're interested in witchcraft and you're interested in magic and ascension and awakening and all those good things, then you yourself are likely a spiritual ambassador. Welcome. So given that information, doesn't it make sense that we have to learn how to hold others accountable to the energy or cast them out of the space? Because, yo, we are maintaining a space. We are creating and then maintaining a space. And that space is called spiritual alignment, whatever that means to you. I'm never going to tell you what that means for you. I know what it means for me. but I want you to know what it means for you. But we're here to create that bubble and to maintain its integrity. It's our own little bubble. This is my garden. Don't walk on my plants. And if you're going to allow someone to come into your garden and like walk on your plants or like water the thing that shouldn't be watered or like put poison on the plants that shouldn't be poisoned. I don't know that any plants should be poisoned, but you understand, or like trim back the branches of something that shouldn't be trimmed. You can tell I don't do plants very much, but you're not going to let that happen. So why do we let this happen to us in our real lives? Why do we let people come into our spaces and like kick our stuff and spit on our floors and criticize our interior decorating? I don't know why we do that, but I know we do it. And I know that if you're a witch and a spiritualist and an awakened person, yo, you gotta be able to say this energy does not match, this energy needs to go or change. That is part of what our magic enables us to do. It allows us to restore balance. That is what people mean when they say those who can't hex can't heal. I know there's a lot of judgment around like witches who are willing to do left-handed magic or hexy witches or whatever. But can you rethink that? Can you rethink the judginess? Hi, Oracle. My dog just came running down the stairs. If you can rethink the judginess, you can understand that someone who is retaliating magically is perceiving the energy as being out of alignment, and they are saying, this energy is not allowed right now. I am here as a spiritual ambassador, and I am here to make sure the energy stays aligned and in integrity. And BT Dubs, like being some kind of spiritual ambassador, is absolutely not an ego thing. If you get all like fluffed up and poofy tailed over the term spiritual ambassador, that's your ego talking and you're not ready to really be one yet. But the thing I'm thinking and the thought I'm trying to share is like, aren't we obligated to make sure that if we learn about these, oh my God, Pumpkin, all the dogs are here now. Pumpkin, can you hear Pumpkin sneezing? I'm so sorry. My point is, like, aren't we obligated if we're here, we're awakened, we're like, why the F am I here? And then we realize, oh, I guess I have a purpose. Aren't we then obligated to live in alignment with that purpose, to create spaces that live in alignment with that purpose, to maintain those spaces? And sometimes we will run into people who do not give an F about those spaces that we've created. We will run into people who don't care about the energy that we're trying to maintain. We will run into people who are not here for positivity and enrichment of the spirit and unity consciousness and connection. We will run into people who seem like and maybe are just really enamored with the idea of destroying things that bring about those principles into our lived experiences. We can't go ahead and just allow that because we're working for the collective. And the collective needs us to begin to demonstrate what it is to live in alignment with all those good vibes of spirit. For real. And so we have to be unwavering in our commitment to maintaining the integrity of our spaces, even if that space is just you with yourself. This is why boundaries are important. This is why protection work is important. And it's also why justice-seeking magic is important as well. If someone is misusing their power to inflict harm upon others, including yourself, they can't be allowed to continue to do that in your space because it corrupts the integrity of your space. It corrupts the integrity of the spiritual energy that you have worked so hard to learn how to hold and to be and to embody. And so there are appropriate times in life to allow yourself to get mad and to flip some tables, metaphorically speaking. And I will do this in my own life. And I think that's one of the things people don't realize about me. if someone is corrupting my boundary, if someone is disrespecting the energy, I'm going to go ahead and let them know. And I don't have to do it magically at first. I don't have to do it that way. But as a Scorpio stellium, it doesn't usually take quite a lot for me to intimidate that energy back where it belongs. Sometimes it takes just a very intense mommy glare. And those of you who have kids, you know the glare. Your kid's doing something across the room. They know they're not supposed to be doing it. You can see what's about to happen. It's not going to be good. They're about to do something even like more against the rules. And all you got to do is catch their eye. You squint a little, maybe with just one eye. You look at them. Maybe you nod slightly like, I see you. Those kids stop. You know, those kids stop. Sometimes that's all it takes. Or sometimes it takes a whole ass conversation. Sometimes it takes that and some conversation with some conviction and some confidence. And that's allowed. I think we can all agree that at some points in our life, we are supposed to do that. There are appropriate times to stand up to other people and to be like, absolutely not. I was like 19 years old or something. And we went to my friend's house and there was a party there. And like my friend had just bought this house, okay? And that was like amazing because my friend was like 22 and I still don't know how they bought a house, but whatever. It's probably some form of like nepotism or like whatever. Regardless, we're at their house. This dude was eating McDonald's, throws his McDonald's bag on the floor. Yo, my friend was like, you're not going to throw trash on the floor of my house. Pick that up. And I was like, oh my gosh, right? Not only because of the conviction with which it was said, like, yo, you're not going to throw trash on my floor, pick it up. Like that was a whole vibe unto itself. But also because of the fact that like this person modeled for me, like I know what I want my space to be. And I know when you are violating that, and I'm going to tell you that. And you're going to either do what I'm asking you to do or you're going to go ahead and leave. And this was such a great moment for me to witness because at that time in my life, like I was very like in that space I described earlier, like, oh, I'm so sorry I'm breathing. Like, is my breathing like taking up too much oxygen? Like, you know, so that was really helpful for me to witness. And I continue to think about that to this day because I want to hold that energy about the things that matter to me. And the more you do self-work, the more that list of things that matter to you become really clarified. Because now that list is down to like my kids, my wife, my work, myself. That's about it. The plants that live on my property, I'm very protective of. You know, it used to be like any and everything under the sun. Like I used to get all involved in like the drama of everywhere, trying to share my opinion, trying to put in some perspective, trying to, I don't know, influence the outcomes of things that quite frankly don't matter. And now I know those things don't matter because I don't care. But I know that the things that do matter, I'm going to totally show up for. And I think that's a level of confidence that I would like for all of us to have. And I would like for all of us to know that we are allowed, nay, we are spiritually ordained to hold that energy. That's why we're here, right? That's why you woke up. You woke up in order to see, oh, I'm a spiritual creature. And yeah, some days you're going to be like, OMG, I'm a spiritual creature, like trapped in a little jar with holes cut in it so that I can like live. But what kind of life is this? Like, yo, dude, like many of us feel that way more often than not, especially because the cost of living is going up like exponentially. But I don't see the cost of like the income we're having. I don't see our income going up to that same degree or percentage. Mm-mm. Just like I get feeling like, oh, I'm trapped in a jar. Oh, my God, why am I here? Like, oh, no, I don't want to do this, right? Like that's part of it. But like the other part of it is like, if I'm here, I must be here for a purpose. If I'm here and I know I'm here, if I am aware that I am a creature walking on this planet and I am able to observe myself in that capacity, that means that I'm really not actually just that creature. I am observing myself as that creature, which means I'm spirit looking at a version of me pretending to be this creature that goes by my name, and I know I've said this to you guys before. So as you woke up to that fact, when you woke up, it was like, oh, right, that's who I am. I'm this big giant thing called spiritual energy or source or the universe. And I'm just like a little piece of that vast energy placed down here. And if I'm placed down here and a bunch of these other people don't know who they are, but spirit is trying to get them to feel that, realize it, want it, whatever, I guess I should live by those energies of spirit. And I guess I should create a life that feels the least painful to me. Because, yo, being separated from spirit is painful. It sucks. It's hurty. It's hurty down here. Okay? We are taken away from everything and put into a space of not a lot of things. And the air hurts and the interactions hurt and everything hurts here because everything is isolated. Everything is experiencing separateness. And that hurts so much more to those of us who are aware of what it could feel like. Because that could is so different than what it does feel like, right? But if you're here and you know about it, maybe you're supposed to live in alignment with it a little bit more. And it's not so that. There is no so that. We can't do it because. I just talked to my academy students about this not too long ago. Like, we can't be out here living our most perfect life so that other people will be inspired to live theirs. Like, we can't be out here like showering the world in like positive energy so that other people will see how positive we are and want to be like that too. Like, there is no so that. Those are expectations. Those are outcomes contingent upon other people, aka things that are not under our control. We can't do it that way. We just got to live the energy. And when you live the energy, everything falls into place. And when you live the energy, you give other people an opportunity to opt in as well, but that's their opportunity. And notice I said it's an opportunity because we have free will here. We had to. There is not free will in the other realm in which we are all one because it's all the things are happening. There are no choices to be made. All the things already exist. There is nowhere to go or nothing to do. We are both there and not there at once because we are everything. So the opposite of that realm of unity must contain free will. It must contain choice because there is a lack of everything. So we must ergo, therefore, have choice. So we can't control what other people do, but we can just live. And if you live at a high enough vibration, that vibration just spreads naturally because higher vibration is a more powerful energetic converter than lower vibration. And so the higher vibration has a higher chance of bringing others into alignment, but that cannot be the reason why we do it, or else it becomes about our ego. And therefore, it is not living spiritually, and therefore, it is not actually alignment, and therefore, we ain't doing nothing. We just still living like ego, just like everybody else. We just lying to ourselves a lot about it a little bit better, okay? So what the F does this have to do with Jesus? Well, did I make my point, though? Did I talk about how, like, if we're going to be here and we're going to be spiritual beings, like, we must therefore have discernment and able to enable us to maintain the energy. And this is why it's okay to be hexy, or it's okay to apply justice, or it's okay to have boundaries, or it's okay to get mad. Yo, it's okay to get mad sometimes, you guys. It is okay to get mad. Some things are worth getting mad about. I got a list of things I'm mad about. I can share it somewhere if anyone wants to hear it. It's long. It's a long list. Spiritual people can be mad AF. And that brings me back to Jesus, right? Because Jesus was mad. Jesus had every right to be mad, though. He's over here just being friendly, trying to talk about, trying to unify with, like, God. He's walking around being like, I am the Son of God. But I think, I think the part that got lost was like the rest of that sentence, which was like, and so are you. I am the Son of God and so are you. And now as I'm recording this, it was recently Easter, which is a holiday that I tend to overlook because I'm just not down with it. Like I don't vibe with Easter too much. But somebody sent me a post kind of looking at Easter in a more metaphorical way. And it was an interesting post and it had some cool philosophical things to say. You know, it talked about that thing that a lot of places talk about where it's like the cross represents like the crossroads between like the human form and the spiritual form. And the horizontal line is like the human form. But then you look up and down and you realize you're a spiritual being. And I've heard that many times before and it's fine. I don't necessarily vibe with it, but it's fine. Cause like to me, the cross is a tool of murder and torture. Hence my abject horror at the fact that so many followers of that religion wear it. It's just so messed up to me, you guys. Like, please, like, if somebody murders me, like, please don't wear the murder weapon in honor of my life. Like, you know, like what, who thought of that? That is like a bad PR move, quite frankly. I don't like it, but regardless. So if we are here, right, we're spiritual creatures. We're understanding that we're going to live in alignment with the things that we believe. We're not going to do it for any reason except that we believe them and that's what makes it right. And that's why we're going to live like that. Okay, perfect, right? We're going to learn how to hold our boundaries. We're going to throw some tables. We're going to whip some people, whatever. The other thing about Jesus, though, is like, so here's the thing that came up for me when I was reading like this article and having this conversation with this person. And here's what Easter reminded me about. It's like resurrection story. And I do have to warn you, I have one more like Jesus episode I need to record because I had this cool insight. Well, it was like a download a couple months ago. And in my head, I was like, oh my God, I gotta tell the podcast that. And then like, oh my God, life has been like really lifing at me. It's on my like life lifing at me in the way it has been is on my list of things I'm mad at. So I'm gonna talk about that sometime other time, but I'm not gonna forget. But here's the deal, right? With resurrection. I wanna interpret resurrection from a point of view as in like, what if we take that Jesus sentence and I finished it for him, right? I am the Son of God and like, so are you. I am the child of God and so are you. I am the child of spirit and so are you. I am spirit and so are you. When we look at it like that, then we get to see like Jesus' story as kind of like our own story. And I had to go to a funeral. I mean, I think it was like a couple weeks ago. I'm in one of those phases right now where it's like a bunch of deaths coming all at once and it's really sad. The funeral I went to in the middle, it was in a Catholic church. And by the way, this priest that led this service, it was the most beautiful Catholic service I've ever been to. He was like, you know, we believe in like the saints being able to still communicate with us after death and we pray to them and talk to them and whatever. And he was like, a lot of the times though, like your passed on loved ones are like the saints from your own life. And he was like, so you can talk to them too. Like they are there wanting to correspond with you and they will talk back to you. And it was like, oh my God, thank you for saying that. Like me and this priest really agreed. And that was a sentence I've never said before. Okay. And like after the service, I went up to him and I was like, that was like a truly moving service for me. And the funeral was for someone that I actually have never met, but they were a very, very, very kind, amazing, wonderful person, important to somebody that I love. And so, of course, I went. But like, I was able to not be in a state of like grief, and I was able to really listen. And gosh, that was such a good service. And he did a bunch of cool stuff like that. And like, he really was one of the only priests I've ever seen that still held a reverence for everything he was doing. Like, he's consecrating the wine, and he's like blessing the communion wafers or whatever. And it was like, he's taking time. He's like bowing his head. He's closing his eyes. He's holding a silence for the congregation. And I could tell he was like really infusing these things with his intention, with the spiritual energy. And I thought that was so cool. And did you know that Catholic altars are based on pagan altars? And pagan altars are almost always made of stone. Catholic altars are made of stone. And they actually have all the elements represented on themselves, because they have holy water, or the wine can represent the water as well. They're made of stone. There is smoke representing the air from the incense, and there is candlelight, which is the fire. And that is not a coincidence. That is not an accident. Next time you're at a Catholic church, like, check it out. So he's saying all these things, and it was like a really beautiful and powerful experience for me. But while I'm sitting there, I'm looking around, and I'm like, okay, so every single Catholic church, like the stained glass windows, they all tell the same story for the most part. And it's the story of the Passion of the Christ. And if you're not familiar, the Passion of the Christ is Christ's trek to his death, and by which he must carry the cross that will eventually, you know, kill him. And if you saw The Passion of the Christ, that like really intense movie, I guess it was from the 90s. Like, wow, how old am I at this point? You understand how perilous and painful and terrible that journey was. And these windows always depict that story. Sometimes the windows tell the whole story of his life or whatever. Or if the church is in reverence to a certain saint, there might be a window or two for like that saint. But usually they're telling the Passion. And I was like, what's with this? Like, I mean, you know, I'm a little cynical, a little in quotes, cynical about the way that Christianity has been like doing its stuff and like taking its stories. Like, Christianity is the perfect embodiment of what we were talking about a few minutes ago, where it's like, where, remember how I was like, if you're doing this for anything, any other reason, you're coming from ego, and therefore you're not living in alignment. So like, it's all like whatever, like you're just like nicely being out of alignment. Like, this is the same thing, you guys. Like, this religion is not actually practicing what it preaches whatsoever. It's not holding a sacred space. It's not maintaining the integrity of the message, and it's therefore coming from a place of ego. And we know this because its biggest focus is on money and power and control and condemnation. And the people in our lives who come from ego often value those same things. And so I was just like, ew, I hate like the death worship, like, I hate all of this. It's like such a dark religion. Like, I was being very judgy, but that's again me being like, I don't like things that are out of alignment. I literally can't stand it. It makes my skin crawl when things are out of alignment. Like, if you're going to say you're one way and then you don't act that way, like, I can't with you. Like, these are the things that like drive me bananas. And I was like, this is so weird, whatever. But then I was thinking about Easter, and I was reading this post, and I was like, what if this whole resurrection thing, right? Like, what if we take Jesus as a representative of all of us? And like, what if like the hyperfixation on the passion and the resurrection, like the death and the coming back to rebirth, is like a metaphor? Like, how does that land? Like, what does that mean? Like, how is that applicable to all of us? And yo, here's the purpose for me recording this right now, because I feel like this was helpful for me to think about. And I feel like this is kind of one of the secret takeaways from what this religion in Jesus's name is trying to tell us, like actual, like real Jesus, like cool Jesus, right? Like, if God, I wish that the movie Dogma didn't get like deleted from reality, because it's such a good movie. And in that movie, they were like rebranding Christianity, and they like created this Jesus mascot, and he's literally like doing finger guns and like standing to the side and like corny smile, and they called him like Buddy Christ. And it's just like, what if like we looked at it that way? Like, what if what if we could embrace like Buddy Christ, right? Like, what if we could embrace like actual fucking like dope Jesus, okay? And so, hi baby. So like, let's look at this story like a little bit metaphorically for a hot second, okay? If we look at it with the whole death, the whole thing, okay? The death, the resurrection, the coming back to life, the ascension, whatever. Here we go, okay? When you are born, you open your eyes, right? You open your eyes up into this reality, and perhaps you're like, oh no. But like, we can all agree that like, we're born in some energy of like divinity or holiness, or like, we're very like spiritually connected. Like, we're nothing but that. And I learned, you know, when I was younger, I guess, I don't know when, but I learned at some point that most people can't remember really far back into their early days of being here, like young memories. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I have a whole collection of like memories that probably like, who studies memories? Like, who's a memory expert? Like a memorologist, right? Like a memorologist would tell you, like, I don't remember these things, like that I'm wrong and I'm crazy, or I just, you know, tricked myself into thinking I'm remembering things. But I swear to God, I remember like a couple very vivid snapshots from being a baby. And I know this because I remembered this crib with this comforter and this specific mobile that I was only in this one space in my house until I was like 4 months old. And then like my mom like didn't put me in there anymore because they were like redoing things in the house. And like, I had never seen photos or, I mean, this is just where I slept. It was like, honestly, it was like in a closet. Like, she had a big closet and she put my crib in this closet, right? And like, and I remember it. And I was like, what was the space, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, how the F do you actually even know about that? Now, my mother would never talk like that. My mother was like, that's astonishing. Whatever a British lady would say. And I remember that. I remember being on this like table with my dad, like holding me there, whatever. I remember a bunch of things from being very, very absurdly young. You want to know what the biggest thing I remember about being very, very absurdly young is? It's that feeling that lingers of like unconditional love and like this pure magical connection. It's this like feeling of knowing. And we are all like, well, as adults, we'll like get glimpses of that feeling of knowing once in a while. Like, maybe you'll have a really good meditation, or like, I don't know, you'll like eat some mushrooms with your like friends on a Saturday, or like you will have a dream, or you'll have a really transformative experience, and you'll just have that feeling wash over you for like a hot second. It's like, yes, I remember, like, everything is love. I am so connected. Everything is holy. Isn't it magical here? Like, I feel so embraced by the warm love of spirit. And like, you have this moment and it's like everything to you. It's like familiar but amazing at once. It's like the true definition of like awesome. Like, it inspires awe within you. It is like, oh my God, that's like the moment we're all kind of striving for. But I gotta tell you, whenever I have memories from like way too young that the memorologist will tell me I don't have, but I know I do, that's the feeling I feel. That is the feeling of it. And what I've come to figure out is like, when you're a baby, You know how if you wake up after like a really great sleep, which is not something I'm super familiar with because I suck at sleeping, but if you know how if you wake up from really great sleep, you like feel like authentically refreshed, and like if you were having a good dream, you're like, oh, I feel so like nice and snuggly, and I had this great dream, right? And it kind of lingers with you for a while, and it kind of like sets you up for a good morning, and like you're like motivated and happy and whatever. That lingering feeling from your good dream is just like what this feeling was. Like it lingers. Like you don't feel so separated at first. Like you know about it. Like you remember. Like you are connected still. And that is because I feel like you are in this pure state of alignment. Now stick with me for a second, because I believe that the baptism that we experience happens when the mother's water breaks and then we are born. Like we are baptized into this world. We come in baptized, we come in initiated, we come in anointed, whatever the F you want to say, it is through the birth that we are made clean or pure or whatever. And we are made pure because we arrive here pure. And I don't mean it in some fucked up like virgin way, like no offense, but no, I mean it in like a soul kind of like, oh my God, I'm here. Oh my God, I'm so like shiny and new. Oh my God, I'm like a person. But we still have that feeling. We still have that like residual connection. And we are like so totally us. Like we are uncorrupted versions of ourselves, like in our babyhood. Okay. And that is like the highest, most aligned, most authentic version of ourselves. And even in early childhood, we still maintain this version of ourselves. We're still really nice to bugs. Like we'll pick them up and rescue them from things. We're still really kind to others. Like up until like the age of 1 or 2, like we don't get jealous. We share. We like give hugs and kisses. We seek love. Like, we aren't really that impacted necessarily by the external world too much, depending on what kind of upbringing we had, though, because we still maintain some of that like pure version of who we are. We are still aligned with spirit. But then what happens? Well, then what happens is, yo, we get crossed. And I mean that in a witchy way and in the Christian carrying the cross way. I mean that in a betrayal way. Okay. Now, in the story of Jesus, he gets betrayed by Judas, but he's also betrayed by like everybody. He's here for like what, all of humanity, and like then they kill him. Like, come on, this is betrayal. And I want to say a thing. Once you're born and once you start to become a part of like, human society, as we all have to be crossed is to be betrayed, you guys. If someone's crossing you, that means someone's harming you. So if you've ever heard like of an uncrossing spell or of crossing somebody in magic terms, that means like doing harm. Uncrossing is to remove harm done. We become crossed. And the ways in which we become cross is because we are started to give these labels, these words, these definitions, these expectations. These things are placed upon us, and we must carry those things. And these things that are placed upon us take us away from who we naturally were. I mean, I have made this argument before, even in the academy. The second we're given like a label of like girl or boy or like daughter or son or like third born or whatever it is, like we are immediately given a label that we didn't agree to, that we don't know about, that we don't know if we align with. And it starts to shape us, and it starts to shape how we view ourselves, and starts to give us parameters. It starts to restrict and restrain us. Especially back in the day, although I gotta say, like, sexism's still here, but especially back in the day, like, if you're labeled a girl, like, your life is immediately way different. Your life is immediately, like, way more restricted. We all know this. The second you're born, you get restrictions put on you. Let's stick with the energy of it before we're aware of it, okay? We get crossed because we are told what is expected of us, how we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to believe, what we're supposed to do and not do. Our curiosity is quelled. Our enthusiasm is silenced. We are told things like, you can only play in like this space at this time. You must sit still and be quiet. You know, eat everything on your plate. Like, go do this. Like, don't do that. Like, whatever. Like, we are immediately put with a lot of parameters on us. And as we get older, those things get tighter and tighter. Those wounds get deeper and deeper. The crosses get heavier and heavier. And we got to keep carrying them because they keep piling up. Oh, you're not supposed to do theater. You're a boy. Or, no, you can't do sports. We are an academic family. You're going to be a doctor. Like, no, you can't wear that. What kind of person are you? Like, we get a lot of feedback that tells us what we're supposed to be like, but not a lot of feedback that encourages us to nurture and foster whoever we actually are like. And so we carry these crosses, and we carry them through so much of life, you guys. We carry them through like all of our life. We carry them everywhere. And as we carry them, people scream at us, they yell at us, they bring us down. Because you know that part where like the streets are lined with everybody watching him carry his cross? Like, yo, it's gross, okay? But this happens to us in our life. We carry these moments that we have been betrayed, or that we have been taught to betray ourselves. And many people will die during that journey. They'll die carrying their crosses, or more accurately stated, the truth about themselves will die. The knowing of who they are will die. The remembrance of that magical connection to source energy, that will die while they carry that cross. As many people don't make it. They perish on the journey, never knowing who they are. But then, okay, we get there. Our crosses try to kill us. Eventually, they load up so much that we collapse underneath them. We've all had that moment, right, where the pressure is so much that we either succumb to it or we don't. But there's always that like death that happens within ourselves before we figure out if we're a phoenix or if we're like a corpse. And so we're hung on the cross. We're hung on these crosses. We get nailed to it. The points get driven into us. This is what you're supposed to be. And when we finally just like collapse underneath it, someone kind will wrap us up and nurture us and take our body somewhere to at least have some kind of like dignity about itself. And this is the death that many of us experience when we are shedding this skin of everything we were supposed to be. See, like we can get to this point where it's like either living by these expectations is going to kill us, or we're just going to say F the expectations. And sometimes we need like a dark place to go to, like a cave. Dark, cold place where we feel dead and broken and bleeding. But it is in that moment where we decide to shuck off all the crosses that have been put upon us, and we decide to shuck off all the interpretations of who we're supposed to be. See, it's in that moment where if we're strong enough, that's a resurrection, friends. Because if we can get back up and crawl out of that cave and be like, you know what? I remember who I was. I remember who I was. I am like the son of the universe. I am like the awakened individual. I am in alignment. I am spirit. I remember who I am. I'm not all those things they made me carry that tried to kill me. I'm not any of that. I am like holy. I am aligned with spirit. I nearly effing died. Or maybe I feel like I did die. But in that death, I remembered who I was. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to live like this anymore. And when we throw away all of that, that's when we get to be who we really are. And when we get to be who we really are, like that authentic version of ourselves, that real true version of who we are, that spirit living in a body version of who we are, that's ascension, my friends. See, that's what I think that story's supposed to tell us, or at least, you know what? That's like my interpretation of it. That's the journey. If we want to be in an enlightened state, if we want to like achieve the ascension, the nirvana, the enlightenment, whatever, we have to throw away all the burdens that have been placed upon us. We have to stop carrying the things that want to kill us. We have to stop carrying the things that are trying to stifle us, strangle us, harm us, pin us down. If we can throw away all those things, and then we're free of them, and it's going to feel like you're dying, but then you find out you lived, and now you're free of those things. And what's left when you're free of all those things is that you're just pure spirit. Like, you're just source energy in a body. And like, you can do anything you want, given that information. And if you believe that, and you know it, and you live like that, you are so aligned and powerful and magical and special and sacred and holy. And you're not coming from ego, because you're just like, oh my God, what a beautiful gift it is to be here. And like, I'm just going to love this. So I know it's a little weird. I know it's a little Jesus-y. Well, it's a lot Jesus-y. But the stories that are in the Bible about Jesus as well, like, they're all from ancient mythology. Like, they're all ancient stories being retold. But I just feel like this one's such a good one to describe our spiritual journey and our purpose here. Because I want to remind us all that, like, we don't have to carry all those things. Those things were just given to us by who the fuck else? Like, who knows? People we might not even like or agree with or align with. I don't want us carrying other people's stuff. I don't want you carrying other people's rules or beliefs or thought patterns or behaviors. Those are theirs. They're not yours. Who would you be? Who would you have been if no one told you who you were? Who would you have been if no one told you who you were? That's the question Spirit's asking of us. Because once we get to that answer, we get to be that person. And when we get to be that person, we get to live in alignment with it. And the whole world gets better. Okay, I'm running out of time. Thank you for coming back to my podcast and listening to me and sharing in this space with me. I have lots of cool things to talk about. And I'm just going to make it happen. So hang in here and I will talk to you soon. But before I go, please come find me in my Moonstone Witchery Witchcraft Academy. I know that the economy is hard and maybe you can't afford big fancy classes that people are offering right now. And that is why I made this affordable AF. And I want you to join me there so we can have cool conversations all the time. So I hope I'll see you there. You can find me on moonstonewitchery.com and on Facebook in the Big Jahujic Facebook group that we have. Okay, I love you guys so much and thank you for sticking it out with me and listening to my podcast. I'd love to hear from you. Talk to you guys soon.